talking about the Redeemer here in the book of Revelation chapter 5. It's all about him, about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. That is verse 7. Verse 5. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Hymn number 266.
I want to read to you just a little bit here this evening. I'll read to you from the 21st chapter of the book of Leviticus. I read to you from the book of the Revelation just a few minutes ago. Chapter 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, There shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. That is, one of the sons of Aaron was forbidden to touch anything that was defiled, and in particular, a dead person that defiled him. And if they were defiled, then they were forbidden to offer the bread unto God. They were intercessors on behalf of the children of Israel. And God, in his graciousness and in his sovereignty, chose Aaron, who was the brother of Moses, to be the first high priest. And then the priest that would succeed Aaron was narrowed down to Aaron's family. I heard here the other day on the evening news, Dan Rather, he announced that was talking about the Pope A pope is the priest, the high priest, the vicar of Christ for his people. God's representative on earth. That's the claim of Catholicism. And he talked about the pope in that very important figure in the world. And he'd had a back set or something, been sick for a while, and he talked about that. But he said this, which I thought was remarkable. I never heard it on any other program. I never read it in the paper. But Dan Rather said that the pope said that the theory of evolution is not just a theory. Now, what do you think of that? The pope said, did anyone else hear that? I heard that. That the theory of evolution wasn't just a theory. Well, when the pope dies, they have a successor, someone that succeeds the pope as the visible ruler of the Roman Catholic Church all over the world. Wherever Roman Catholics are, he's the head official. And they, the College of Cardinals, I don't know exactly how many are in the College of Cardinals, but it's an enormous body. And they meet in a particular room for so many days, as long as it takes, until they come to a resolve as to who will succeed the pope. Now, that's the way they continue their successors in the popery. Now, the high priest here is the brother Moses, Aaron. And he tells Moses that Aaron's sons has to be it. If he's to be a priest, he's got to be born a priest. He's got to be born of the family of Aaron, or he can't be a priest. And even if he's born of a priest, he can't offer the bread unto God if he's got a physical defect. It says if he's if he's lame. Verse 18, look down there. 17. Speak unto Aaron, saying, whatsoever he be of thy seed, Aaron's seed, in their generations, that hath any blemish, if he's got any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. He can't do it. If he's got a physical defect, he can't offer the bread of his God. Well, you might say, he can't help it because he's got a physical defect. That don't change the matter, does it? That don't alter it, because he didn't have anything to do with the physical defect. If he has a blemish on him, like Carl's got a blemish right there. Had to go to the doctor and have it burned off. Got a blemish? You can't offer the bread of God. Can't do it. He shall not approach. Can't approach the holies of holies. If he's a blind man, or if he's lame, or if he has a flat nose. He got a flat nose, that rules him out. I said, well, he can't help that. That don't change what God said, does it? Well, I can't help that. Makes no matter. If he's got a flat nose, rule him out. Or anything superfluous. Or a man that's broken-footed. Or broken-handed. Or a crooked back. Or a dwarf. Or hath a blemish in his eye. Or to be scurvy. Or scabbed. Or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He can't offer it, but now listen. He shall eat the bread of his God. He can't offer it, but he'll eat. He'll be a benefactor. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish. God will not have a priest come near the altar to offer a sacrifice that has a blemish. God won't have it. Because he hath a blemish, that he profane, dishonor my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron and unto his sons and to all the children of Israel. Now, Aaron's sons, let's say one of Aaron's sons, he might not be as intelligent as someone is. He might be very ignorant, Aaron's son. But his position of a priest is not founded or grounded upon his knowledge. He might be ignorant, but his relationship in this Levitical priesthood, him being a son of Aaron, and he's a priest, might be ignorant, but his position of a priest is not founded on his knowledge, but upon life. It's founded upon life. He was born of Aaron. Now his experience may be very shallow, but his place as a priest does not depend upon experience. Now he was born into the position and relationship of a priest. He did not work himself into being a priest. He did not go to the school of the prophets in order to attain certain knowledge, whereby in the end, after certain rigorous examination, he qualify for the priesthood. No. He was born into this position as a priest. Priest of the Most High God. Born into it. Well, if he's the son of Aaron, he became a priest by birth. Sons of Aaron, in virtue of their birth, were priests unto God. Not a matter of attainment, not a question of progress, not something which one had and another had not, That had nothing to do with it. It was all based, founded upon life. Now, I read to you where it says that no man that hath a blemish, broken footed, a flat nose, broken handed, a crooked back, or a dwarf, or one that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed. No man of the sons of Aaron that had a blemish could approach the holies of holies and offer bread unto God. None of the sons of Aaron. Now let me ask you this question in light of what I've said. Now, none of these things, none of these blemishes, blind, scurvy, scab, or whatever, none of these things could possibly touch the fact of relationship founded upon the established principle of human nature. In other words, they could not change the fact that though one of them was scabbed, yet he was still Aaron's son. You see the point I'm trying to make? Though one be born a midget or a dwarf, if he was the son of Aaron and he was a dwarf, that son or that dwarf was still a son of Aaron. If one of the sons of Aaron happened to be or happened to fit into the category that God described here that would be a blemish, say he's broken footed, would he be deprived of his sonship? He's still Aaron's son. That's what I'm saying. If he's got a broken hand, a broken foot, or whatever it is, nobody under heaven can deprive him of his relationship, his sonship to Aaron his father. Though he hath the scab, he cannot go and offer the bread unto God, but yet as a son of Aaron, he can eat the holy bread. Now, I said all that to say this. I think what it's teaching, I think what it emphasizes is this, that God could not have a blemished priest at his altar. That God could not have a blemished sacrifice on his altar. Now you and I are priests unto God. I read to you in chapter 5, the book of Revelation. Well, first turn with me to the third chapter of the book of Hebrews. I think Henry here the other day read from this third chapter and emphasized that word considered. You remember that. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. Would you just consider the apostle? Apostle means one sent from God. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, faithful to God who commissioned him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, that is, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But now here's the verse. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, as Aaron fathered these sons who were to be priests unto God. They were to be faithful unto the house of Aaron. Moses was faithful unto his house. The Lord Jesus faithful unto his house. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Now there in the book of Revelation, it says that they sung a new song. Now, he's talking about those that the saints. Well, verse 8. He's talking about believers who died and went to heaven. They're with God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When a man dies, wherever the Lord is, that's where he goes. He does not lie. His soul doesn't lie smoldering in the grave. But it goes to be where God is. And that's where these people were. These martyrs. Some of them was martyrs for the Lord Jesus. Saints. He calls them saints. He said, in speaking to these saints, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And so they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. This is the Lord Jesus. Thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. He has redeemed us to God. He's not trying to redeem us to God. He's not waiting until we die to find out whether we're redeemed or not. But He hath redeemed us to God by His blood, out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. And listen to this now. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. He's made us kings, and He's made us a priest. Aaron's sons became priests founded upon life, and we become priests founded upon life. We're born again into this priesthood. We did not work ourselves into it. We was born into it. Our Lord said, except a man be born again. That is, he must have life. He's got to have life. He doesn't have life. The natural man has physical life, but he has no spiritual life. He's dead to spiritual things. He can't understand spiritual things. They're foolishness unto him. He's got to have life. He's dead while he lives. And the Bible says that you hath he quickened unto life. We're born into this priestly house, and we're priests. Isn't that wonderful? That we're king. He hath made us kings and priests unto God, and we shall reign and rule forever. Well, now listen. I've already said that man cannot help because he's got these physical defects. Sons of Aaron couldn't help it. It's born that way. But that doesn't alter the matter concerning blemishes. God will not have a blemished priest at His altar, and He will not have a blemished sacrifice on His altar. Now, you and I, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have both the perfect priest and the perfect sacrifice in one person. Do you see that? We have one and the other in one person. We have a perfect sacrifice and we have a perfect priest. And we're priests ourselves because we're in His family, in His household. We're the sons of God, the daughters of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So we have divine perfectness, whether as a victim or as a priest. We have it. We have all that God could require. And we have all that man could need as a sinner in the priest and the sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. His precious blood hath put away all of our blemishes, all of our sins. He hath put them away, and His all-prevailing intercession maintains us before the throne of God forever and forever and forever. And we are kings and priests unto God forever. That's something in it. I know that if you tell somebody tomorrow that you as the king, they'd say, well, I can't see anything kingly about you. If you told them tomorrow, you say, really, really and truly, I am a priest. I'm a saint. I'm a priest and I'm a saint of God. And they'd say, well, we don't see it that way. They're looking at the wrong place is the reason, see. Our kingship and our priestly office is had because we've been born into it. We haven't attained it by virtue of merit or knowledge or experience. We've been born into it. God says we're kings and priests. Though the world cannot see us that way, yet that's the way we are. You say, well, I don't understand it. I don't either. I don't either. But that's the way it is. And because I don't understand it, or because you don't understand it, doesn't alter the matter. God says you're kings and you're priests on the account of the Son, who's the priest of His house, on His account, our unblemished sacrifice and our unblemished priest. God's accepted Him and raised Him from the dead, and He ever lives to maintain our relationship with God.